You're listening to the top stories of 2016 on WFHB.
We bring you the most significant stories of the year
as they were reported by your friends and neighbors.
The face of Bloomington continues to transform,
while local residents fight to save parts of the city they love.
Local people join protests near and far
as Hoosiers help elect Republicans across state and federal governments.
From local to state to national news,
WFHB brought you the stories affecting our community.
Here are the top stories of 2016 on WFHB.
Welcome to the top stories of 2016. For WFHB, I'm Joe Crawford. Today is number 5 on our countdown, Election 2016. We're taking a look back at the 2016 election, locally, statewide, and nationally. Observers have used a lot of words to describe this election: historic, pivotal, bizarre, ugly, stressful, depressing, and, of course, prolonged. Many WFHB listeners were probably sick of hearing about the election long before 2016 even began, while local and even statewide races would not begin to take shape until early this year. The presidential race was ever present in the news throughout 2015. Candidates like Ted Cruz and Hillary Clinton were actively campaigning by April of last year. In September, WFHB's Voices in the Street hit the streets of downtown Bloomington to ask people who they were supporting in the presidential race. This piece aired on September 17th, 2015.
I'm leaning towards Carly Fiorina, mostly because she just has, I think, really good values, and it's not like she's really right-wing. And I tend to vote more on the Republican side.
I'll probably go with Donald Trump just because it's a completely different outlook on politics, I guess. And he's coming from, like, not being a career politician and things like that. And I kind of want somebody from, like, outside the establishment.
Ben Carson. He's a good, God-fearing man, and I believe him. I think everybody should stand up and vote for a man with integrity.
No, none, not really. None of them said anything really impresses me. So, not yet, I don't.
Donald Trump. Why? Because I think that he's built a good business on his own. He went bankrupt one time, and then he came back on that. As far as business, I think he'd help the economy, and he's a good guy, I think.
I would support Bernie Sanders. I like what he says about, like, minimum wage. Like, he wants to raise it to $15 over the next couple of years.
No, I've read too much George Orwell to vote, man.
It's Bernie Sanders. I think he would be a good candidate, but I don't know how practical it would be. I think he's too left-minded for you guys, but I wish you guys would be more left-minded.
I have to agree. I just don't know how well he's going to do, because he has a lot of support from young people, but young people don't vote. So they'll like him on Facebook as much as they want, but how many of them are actually going to go out and vote for him?
Well, you know, if it'd be anybody, it'd be Trump. Because he's shooting straight from the hip right now. And I'm tired of all the BS that our government's been throwing at us. Both sides, left or right, I don't care who you are. Coke, Pepsi, one may taste sweeter than the other, but it's still soda pop. So, you know, I'm tired of what I see going on nowadays. So, you know, I'm tired of seeing police officers killed and our illustrious leader not stepping up saying, hey, this is not right, guys.
That was a clip from Voices in the Street recorded in September of last year. Flash forward a few months, and many progressives in left-leaning Monroe County were optimistic, not only that the electorate would, of course, never elect a president, Donald Trump, but that perhaps the American people might elect a populist, democratic socialist who advocated for single-payer health care and free college tuition. Up next is another election-themed clip from Voices in the Street, recorded in March of this year. That was about 2 weeks after Bernie Sanders won in an upset over Hillary Clinton in the Michigan primary. By that time, Sanders had also won primaries in New Hampshire, Washington, Minnesota, Kansas, Colorado, Oklahoma, Hawaii, and elsewhere. Clinton had secured victories in Iowa, Massachusetts, Nevada, Illinois, North Carolina, and many other states, including much of the South. This piece aired on March 24th.
Supporting Bernie Sanders, and this is Bloomington, so surprise, surprise, but supporting him basically because regardless of whether you're, you know, whether you're pro-gun or anti-gun or pro-abortion and anti-abortion or pro-whatever and anti-whatever, the fact is that if your government is compromised by financial power, which our government is, then it doesn't matter. I mean, a government has to be autonomous and listen to its people, and as it is right now, it doesn't.
Bernie just makes the most sense.
It's probably easier to say whom I don't support, and I wish somebody else was running differently. But I tend to go towards people who are more inclusive of their conversation, so folks can probably guess who I won't be voting for.
Bernie, go Bernie.
I think John Kasich should, he's the best president so far because he's the most reasonable. He's not he just gave a good speech on how, whenever he's going to make the world, not just how Donald Trump is going to make a wall.
Hillary Clinton, baby.
Hillary, because she's a Democrat and she's really experienced politician, and I was raised Democrat. You go, Hillary.
I'm kind of caught between Sanders and Clinton. At the moment, I'm pretty comfortable with both. They do have some different ideas, but both of them seem a lot more sane than the other side of the fence.
Those interviews aired on March 24th on WFHB's Daily Local News. A month later, it seemed to many that the tide had turned away from Sanders and toward Clinton. In April, Clinton won primaries in New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and elsewhere. But still, when Sanders visited Bloomington on April 27th, thousands of people lined up to see the senator speak. Many of them didn't even make it near the IU auditorium, where Sanders would eventually discuss Clinton's connections to Wall Street, as well as issues like criminal justice. In the hours before the talk, as some of the most dedicated Sanders supporters waited in a drizzling rain, I spoke with several of them about their interest in the candidate. We aired this story later that day.
Can I get your name?
Russell Johnson.
Madeline Dipple.
Are there specific issues that drew you to Bernie Sanders?
Women's rights issues, especially for me, because I'm an advocate for Planned Parenthood. I've been there before. I've used different services like that. They're very helpful to the community, and he's a big supporter of them.
He has a really good platform across the board. I'm especially interested in his stance on wealth inequality and money in politics. You know, he's coming into the system, wants to change it from within. I want all the best for him.
Will you vote for Hillary Clinton if she is the nominee?
No, I won't.
Yes, I will. Because I feel like the Republican candidates are too extreme on the right wing.
Can you say why you would not vote for Hillary Clinton?
I don't trust her. You know, we're talking about the woman who voted in favor of the Defense of Marriage Act. If Bernie doesn't get the nomination, he steps aside for the general. I'll probably just vote for a third-party candidate, probably Jill Stein or someone with a similar platform.
So can I get your names real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Dylan Burris.
Zaid Karabatic.
How long have you been here today?
Since 10.
Yeah, 10.
10 a.m.
Yeah.
And the doors open at 5.
Yeah.
Bernie's supposed to talk about 7, I think. Can you tell me what draws you out here today?
Well, honestly, originally, I supported Hillary for majority of this campaign race. But at the most recent debate in New York, there was a question posed about the Israel-Palestine conflict. And I'm half Syrian. I'm very proud Arab. And the question had to do with an overreaction of Israel towards attacks on Palestine. And Hillary refused to condemn the attacks and wanted to keep this neutral standpoint, but Bernie was very passionate about condemning the attacks, not condemning Israel, but condemning the attacks and the overreaction of Israel. And that single issue alone is important enough for me to come support him, to come show my support and listen to him speak.
If Hillary Clinton gets a nomination, will you vote for her in the general election?
I will be voting for a third party candidate.
I would vote for Hillary Clinton if she would get it.
Can you explain why?
I really don't want Donald Trump to be president.
I'm CJ Lamborn.
I'm Annabella Habegger.
And it looks like you're first in line or as close as it gets, probably. How long have you been here today?
I got here at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
A lot of supporters of Bernie Sanders were disappointed last night by some of the primaries. Will you vote for Hillary Clinton if she is the nominee?
I absolutely will not vote for her. I will write in Bernie Sanders.
I'm thinking about it. I'm still on the fence about it. My mom is pressuring me to vote for her if it happens.
You're listening to the top stories of 2016. We're taking a look back at the 2016 election, locally, statewide, and nationally. We just heard interviews recorded prior to Bernie Sanders' speech at the IU Auditorium on April 27th. Sanders was not the only presidential candidate to visit Bloomington during the primaries. Republican candidate Ted Cruz spoke at the Wagon Wheel Country Market in Delhi a week later, the day before the Indiana primary. We aired this story about the event. It's introduced by WFHB anchor Christopher Mawson.
Hundreds of Ted Cruz supporters, protesters, and curious onlookers descended on a shopping center at South Walnut Street and Miller Drive yesterday afternoon. The Republican presidential candidate stopped at the Wagon Wheel Country Market in Delhi for about an hour for a rally. The line for the event stretched for several blocks by the time Cruz arrived at 6 p.m., joined by the right-wing media figure Glenn Beck. Some attendees said they were strong supporters of Cruz, while others said they were simply curious or were there to protest. A group of several dozen people held signs mocking Cruz and urging him to leave Indiana. A local comedian made a video that went viral today in which he asked to shake Cruz's hand and then pulled back, laughed, and told Cruz he was, quote, too slow, Joe, unquote. The comedian Kevin Nichols also called the senator a, quote, fish monster, an insult that also attracted attention from national press, including Good Morning America. WFHB News Director Joe Crawford was at the rally yesterday. We bring you some of his conversations with the attendees now for today's WFHB Community Report.
Austin, you said your first name?
Yes, sir.
And your last name?
Hayes.
Hayes?
Yeah.
Can you say why you're out here today?
I'm out here to support the only true conservative in the race that's left, anyway, yeah. And shake his hand and get to meet the man. Pretty excited about it.
What do you think about the comments about Muslims, about patrolling Muslim neighborhoods?
I think that's a lot of PC culture right there coming out, like the chastising of Cruz for that. I think it's common sense to identify a particular ideology that is that looks to kill specifically white people, Christian or not, they don't care. They just, it's like if you're white, they think you're Christian, and if especially if you're an American, they think you're Christian.
Can I just get your name real quick?
Tom.
And your last name?
Bell.
Is there anything in particular that you like about Ted Cruz?
He's conservative.
Is there a reason for supporting him over, say, Donald Trump?
Well, yes. I'm not sure I trust Trump. I mean, he says a lot of things, and if he holds true on a lot of it, it'll be all right. But I just don't know if I trust him or not.
Can I just get your name?
Martha Harsanyi.
And can I ask why you're out here today?
I wanted to see Ted Cruz. I am not going to be supporting him, but it was an opportunity to see him.
Do you have any opinions about him one way or the other?
I'm terrified of him. I find it interesting that, you know, most politicians are really people, and they like to get along with other people, and the fact that he doesn't have a friend in the Senate speaks volumes of his character. I don't understand his concern about transgender people. I'm sure he's been in the bathroom, in a public restroom with some, and it's been all okay.
That was audio from a Ted Cruz rally at the Wagon Wheel on May 2nd. Although Cruz had the support of major Indiana Republicans, like, for instance, Governor Mike Pence, Cruz lost the Indiana primary to Donald Trump the next day, and he dropped out of the race. While the bombastic presidential race dominated the headlines nationwide, critical races for local and statewide offices were just beginning to take shape in early 2016. The Daily Local News aired this story on May 4th about election results in Monroe County. The story is read by anchor Kelly Worley.
Monroe County residents broke recent records for voter turnout during the primary election yesterday. 36,506 Monroe County residents voted in the election, more than 2,000 more than voted in the 2008 primary. Most county residents cast ballots in the Democratic election. Democratic voters showed strong support for presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, who received more than 65% of the vote in Monroe County. Sanders also won the state as a whole, defeating Hillary Clinton. Democrats also overwhelmingly selected Monroe County Councilmember Shelley Yoder to run for Congress. Yoder defeated four other candidates, earning more than four out of every five votes in Monroe County. In local races, Amanda Barge won the Democratic nomination for County Commissioner, defeating John Weikart and Rick Dietz. In the race for County Treasurer, Jessica McClellan decisively beat the current Chief Deputy Treasurer, Hans Hoffman, and the current Monroe County Treasurer, Kathy Smith, narrowly defeated two other challengers to secure the Democratic nomination for County Auditor. On the Republican side, most Monroe County voters cast ballots for presidential candidate Donald Trump, who also won the state and has since become the only remaining Republican candidate for president. 82% of county voters cast ballots for the U.S. Senate candidate Todd Young in his race against Marlon Stutzman. Young, who is currently a congressman, also won the state as a whole. In the congressional race, Republicans chose Trey Hollingsworth, a 32-year-old Tennessee native who spent $2 million of his own money in the election, to run against Shelley Yoder in November. In the county commission race, former county council candidate Paul White defeated Hal Turner by about 400 votes.
You're listening to the top stories of 2016 on WFHB. We're taking a look back at the 2016 election. One of the most closely watched races in the WFHB listening area was between Democrat Shelley Yoder and Republican Trey Hollingsworth, who were competing to represent Indiana's 9th congressional district in Washington. On October 10th, two hosts of WFHB's Bring It On, Jim Sims and Clarence Boone, sat down with Yoder for a conversation about the race. They discussed Hollingsworth, who opponents dubbed Tennessee Trey.
My opponent has been fortunate to come into the world with many different advantages and privileges that many folks in central southern Indiana aren't fortunate to have those kinds of privileges.
Can I interpret that for you? For those listening, he was born into a wealthy family.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, please.
And pretty much wanted to find an open seat and run for a seat in Congress, and chose Indiana's 9th district, moved here, and announced pretty shortly thereafter that he was going to run to represent us in the People's House, in the House of Representatives. And now, nobody saw that coming, whether you were a Republican or a Democrat or Libertarian. I mean, a year ago, it was a big surprise because no one really expected anybody to move in from Tennessee to say, I want to be your voice in Congress. It's pretty unheard of. And he is pretty much self-funding the campaign with his money and his father's money. They have a super PAC, and the super PAC is his father. It's an individually funded super PAC, and it's called Indiana Jobs Now. And pretty much together they've spent, I think, $4 million or close to $4 million to buy this seat in Congress. And what I know to be true, Hoosiers are standing up and saying, you chose the wrong district.
Despite Yoder's hopeful words, it would later turn out that Southern Indiana voters would somewhat decisively vote for Hollingsworth to represent them in Congress. Yoder was far from the only local candidate to visit the WFHB studios this year. Our reporters conducted forums for many local races. One of the most contentious was the Monroe County Auditor's race. Reporter Jared Dill interviewed Republican candidate Ann Boehm, Independent Teresa Chambers, and Democrat Kathy Smith.
The auditor's office has somewhat of a rocky history over the last couple years. Steve Salter recently resigned under investigation for misuse of county credit cards, and his predecessor, Amy Gerstmann, was convicted a couple of years ago also for misusing county credit cards. So for our first question, what is wrong with the office now, and what do you plan on doing differently? And Ann Boehm, let's start with you.
Okay. Some of the things I saw in the office is it seems that there probably needs to be a realignment of duties. While some people seem to get their job done with plenty of time and have time for other things or take time off of work, other people were overworked, overwhelmed. I myself in the claims position found not enough time to do the job. I was constantly working through lunches or staying late. I took one day off one time, came back to a mess of reports on my desk because my backup couldn't remember what to do with them or where they went.
Teresa Chambers, you are the current interim auditor, so what would you do differently with the office?
So far, since becoming auditor at the end of July, I have started implementing cross-training that is much needed in the office, as well as new control procedures for internal control. Those being cross-checking of reports, checks on the financial side of the office. As far as Mr. Salter and Ms. Gerstmann, they are individuals that made their own choices and decisions. My staff and I have been the ones there holding the office together. So moving forward, working with the State Board of Accounts, making sure that we implement the rules and regulations that the state mandates is what I first and foremost am going for if I'm elected, and I've already started doing that process since becoming auditor at the end of July.
And Kathy Smith, how about the ethics question?
Well, first of all, that's a great question. And I see the number one issue with the office outside of the stealing, because that doesn't, that's no one anything to do with me or my people, is basically is employee turnover. Anytime there's employee turnover, that is hard on the treasurer's office, and it becomes a systemic problem. All three ladies here, I think we're all nice people, kind people, and we all care about this county. One of us will be the next auditor, whoever gets elected, me or either of them. We've really got to let the public know that it's service oriented. We are here to serve them, and we have to mitigate the turnover, be good to each other, be good to the new treasurer, and treat everyone with respect and dignity, taxpayer and internal customers in the county.
Those were the three candidates for Monroe County Auditor speaking during a forum hosted by WFHB. Smith, the Democrat, would go on to win that race. Among the many issues discussed during the 2016 election, there was, as time went on, increasing talk about fraud. Although this time the conversation hit the national stage, the voter fraud debate is nothing new for Indiana. Secretary of State Connie Lawson has long voiced her concern about voter fraud, a problem that studies consistently show is virtually non-existent. Lawson made headlines across the country this year. The Daily Local News aired this story on October 24th. It's read by anchor Doug Storm.
Indiana Secretary of State Connie Lawson continues to face criticism for suggesting widespread voter fraud has taken place in Indiana. Lawson walked back some of her comments in recent days. This morning, the Political Action Committee Patriot Majority USA issued a statement accusing Lawson of causing a, quote, statewide panic and helping support unfounded beliefs that the election is rigged. Lawson's office and the state police both issued a string of public statements last week about what they referred to as voter fraud. In one statement, Lawson said fraud might be the cause of thousands of recent changes made to voter registration information across the state, but she acknowledged on Thursday the changes may simply be the result of legitimate changes made by voters in advance of contentious election. The state police have said they are investigating that case. The police also say they continue to review evidence seized during an October 4th raid of the Indiana Voter Registration Project, which is run by Patriot Majority USA. That organization was working to register black voters in Indiana. Police say they are reviewing materials for evidence that the organization committed voter fraud. But a Huffington Post story over the weekend revealed the voter registration project may only be guilty of ignoring a technicality in election law requiring certain paperwork to be filed with county clerk's offices. The Huffington Post also reports that the state police may not have legal jurisdiction to investigate the errors, which would typically be reviewed by county election boards. In a statement this morning, Patriot Majority USA claimed that Governor Pence is using the voter fraud investigations to, quote, trash the electoral system of his state and to advance a demagogic narrative that the U.S. voting system is rigged, unquote.
You've been listening to the top stories of 2016 on WFHB. That brings us to the end of number 5 on our countdown, Election 2016. What happened next in the election is pretty well known. Donald Trump won the White House, and Republicans swept basically all of the big races in Indiana. Democrats, however, continue to dominate local politics in Monroe County. On the fraud front, there have been only 4 people nationwide busted so far for casting illegal ballots this year, and none of them were in Indiana. Tune in tomorrow at 5:30 when number 4 on our countdown is revealed. The Top Stories of 2016 is a production of the WFHB News Department. Today's episode was produced by myself, Joe Crawford, Jared Dill, Clarence Boone, Jim Sims, Casey Ross, and Kelly Worley all contributed to today's reports. For WFHB, I'm Joe Crawford.